Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Damn right, we start right now on a Thursday here in the Loop. You heard the man.
Mm-hmm.
We got Lopez, we got Fig, we got myself, Reggie. Let's have some fun. Get involved with the fun by hopping on the YouTube, hop on the Twitch. We see all y'all there. YouTube is Sports Radio 610, Twitch is 610 Houston. But of course, shout out to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shout out of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans for the 5-Hour Energy fan line. That's how you get involved. Text in 713-572-4610. How you living, Lopez?
I am fantastic, man. I really am. What a great week we have here. Obviously, doing radio with you and Figgy is always a blast.
Is it?
And yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is. And we've got holidays coming up.
Don't do that.
I got my brand new TV, by the way.
Okay.
Flexing in front of Sean Pendergast.
Sean's got multiple TVs.
What'd you get?
85-inch TCL, the 4K HD.
Oh, cool. What are your second and third TVs?
Got him. 50 and 50.
All in the same room?
No, God, no. I'm not sick.
He walks around the house in order to get everything.
I am sick.
I got one in the bar, which is a mere few steps away. You've seen it.
Good. Yeah, I have. Mm-hmm. I have. Yeah. No, I'm happy for you. 85 is nice.
Dude, I sat down. I was watching everything. Like everything.
Did you pull up YouTube and just watch 4K videos?
I watched the Bite Me podcast on YouTube.
All right.
I said, look at
that's
me.
Okay. That's I was going to congratulate
you. That's a little tough. That's not a little tough. That's a lot tough.
Just sit down and watch myself.
No, I watched everything. And then I said, hey, I wonder what YouTube looks like.
That is sick behavior.
I was watching The Lincoln Lawyer. I was watching like action movies and then romantic movies, just like snippets of each one. And then I said, I wonder what YouTube looks like. I said, I know what.
Let me look at myself. Wait, did you just throw in there? Watched a couple rom-coms.
I did. Just like 10 minutes, you know, because we had the surround sound, too. Just shaking the whole room.
Well, I had a fantastic segue, but I would like to turn to the 5-Hour Energy fan line where I've recently learned an interesting piece of information from the 832. Apparently, Embrace the Suck was used in the late 80s in the U.S. Marine Corps.
Like, I believe it.
That was used as doing a cursory Google search.
Yeah.
Apparently that is true. Like the Navy SEALs and Marine Corps, like various places.
That's exactly what Seth was talking about.
That exactly. Absolutely.
Suffer.
What he's talking about.
Suffer.
Did they trademark it?
I don't know that they trademarked
it. Okay, well, let's go. It was just, get it was, you an 85-inch TV, Reggie.
Well, I wish I would. Well, I mean, look. I was going to say that's a great way to watch this game on Sunday night if you have that option. Or if you have the option like we do to watch it at NRG Stadium on Sunday Night Football. We'll see if they actually open the roof because we've seen that blimp.
I saw a blimp.
Around.
Yeah,
I feel like you probably open the roof if there's a blimp flying around, right?
Yeah, there was yesterday.
We'll see what ultimately happens there. But this game,
yeah,
we have to have the conversation of, is this a tipping point game? Mm-hmm. Now, Lopez, why do you set this up in that way?
Because a lot of times when I ask you guys a question, I already have my answer, of course.
Ah,
you know, so
that's fair.
I know what my answer is. And so my question is this. Is this a tipping point game? Is this a game that's going to tell you what the Texans really are? And couple that with some frustration, which was pretty evident out of NRG yesterday, even though they tried to hide it. They didn't do a very good job of hiding their frustration.
No.
And the frustration of people like us and the frustration of fans who
Their frustration themselves and the frustrations about our frustrations.
Yeah.
It got a little meta.
Yeah.
Like, I do wonder how many levels can we get to this of frustration on top of frustration.
On YouTube and Twitch and our text board. Like, my answer is yes, this is a tipping point game. Even though you don't expect to win, if you suck, since we're using that word.
If you suck and have to embrace it.
And you have to embrace it whether you like it or not, I feel like we're going to go down a very, very divergent path from where we've been all year long.
That's interesting because for me, the answer is no.
Okay.
And expectation does a lot of this, right? I've been doing a lot of thinking about expectation. We talked to her. We mentioned, was it yesterday, a couple days ago, that it's really funny to think how the framing of this season has made us feel certain things.
Mm-hmm.
The season prior, this was a team that at 10 games through the season was 6-4.
Yeah.
And it felt great. Now, of course, you also come into that 6-4 on 3-game winning streak, right? Like, and all those things. If you lose this game, which according to Vegas, you are supposed to lose, right? You'd be 6-4.
Yeah.
And it seems like it would feel entirely different just because of the framing of the expectations that we have. But in this game, again, I come back to the fact that you are, I didn't check what the odds were as of more recently.
3.5.
3.5. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot it did move a little bit. But, you know, you are the underdog in this game at home. In addition to, like, you look at this Lions team, and they are one of the more well-rounded teams in the league. They are in any conversation, like every conversation that's had about the best teams in the league, you have to bring up the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
I think with all of that being said, I don't know that this ends up being a tipping point game because this could be one of those games where you just get beat, right? And I understand that then you still have to look at the quality of the Texans' performance.
Yeah.
But I can see how they would still not have great quality because they haven't had great quality against teams before them or before these Lions teams that were not nearly as good. So, I understand that it would be tougher for you to get right against a Lions team that is really, really good.
Yeah. Figgy, I want to get your answer, but let me rebut what you said there, Reggie.
Go for it, dog.
Because I do disagree for this reason. You were supposed to be on this tier. Like, if you lose this game to the Detroit Lions, which arguably are the best team in the NFL, I get that. But you were supposed to be, this was supposed to be, we talked about it when the schedule came out.
Sure.
Boy, I bet you the networks are going to have some fun with, this could be a Super Bowl preview
That's
game.
Right.
You know, these are two of the best teams in their respective conferences. So what I'm saying, Figgy, is like, this was supposed to be a tier one versus a tier one game that means everything and could really be a statement type game. If you lose this game, and especially if, and they're expected to lose, but especially if you look bad up front after no trades and everything, there is no, I will come in here on Monday saying this is a second tier team. I'm sorry, but this is a second tier team.
I mean, is it supposed to, or did we kind of get ahead of ourselves
a little bit? Both, probably.
I do think it's both.
Yeah, because I do. Look, this is CJ Stroud's second year. And I know everybody kept talking about, he might, you know, the league going to catch up to him and all that stuff. But I feel like it's really possible we kind of took a couple steps too far. And maybe this is the reality. Maybe we mentioned it a couple days ago. Maybe we're Detroit of a couple years ago.
Yeah, and look, I think that you're right. Like, there it was a little bit of both. This team absolutely, you know, we got ahead in trying to crown them, Lopez. but, you know, in addition to that, they gave us those impressions. They went and they were aggressive in trying to push this team with their additions and with the way they crafted this team into a place where they were a Super Bowl contender. That was clearly the expectation. But here's the thing, John, is the idea. I felt weird. I don't like calling you John. This is where we get to that place is that context matters.
I'm not used to it.
I know.
It's either, hey, OG, Lopez.
You should have called him Reginald.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
John is my Reginald.
Okay.
Yeah.
I respect
people
that.
People call me either Lopez or the OG, AOG.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. But
your family call you JPL, though.
They call me JPL. Yeah.
You can I was
call
like, me, what?
No, they all call me JPL. Because of, again, my middle initial thing.
No, I understand that. But I'm just like, I'm trying to decide how much I like that.
No, my daughter said, hey, JPL.
Yeah, I'll circle back around on whether or not I like that. Not that anybody needs to
know.
I'll
be like, hey, Pops.
Yeah, Pops. Yeah, man, that's absolutely the way to go. But where was I? Oh, yes, the idea that, but context matters, right? Like, that's one of the things that really helps us be better at, you know, paying attention to things and, like, being more accurate on things. Yes, the start of the season, that was how this team was viewed, and that's how we perceived this team. We got 9 weeks of evidence that, okay, they're not quite that. And so with the context, understanding that they have not been able to get themselves all the way together, or I know D'Amico Ryans said, well, you know, this is still a good team or what have you. Like, I hear you on that, and that's why we've been so frustrated that you have not put that on tape. But we know that they haven't put that on tape. So the idea that now I'm expecting them to put that on tape against the biggest challenge that you've had thus far.
Again.
Like, I think that that might be a little unfair to then hinge your expectations upon that and your evaluation.
Yeah, yeah. 713-572-4610. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
Because this was supposed to happen. And it's not just overzealous expectations, which maybe we had, me. But
you weren't alone in it. But you were leading the band. I do want to make sure that's
But what did the experts say? What did this team say with its actions? We're going to get Stephon Diggs. Hey, we're going to get Joe Mix. Like this, you know, it's kind of like a justification. Like, oh, you know what? Maybe we got ahead of ourselves. They didn't.
You're right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, halfway through the season, we've seen that that has not been the case. There's still time for you to get yourself into a better place, but I don't expect that to snap into reality immediately, and I especially don't expect that to snap into reality in the most difficult situation that you have right here, right? And also against a team that matches up nicely against what you do well, what they do well, those types of things, right? And what you don't do well, right?
Yeah.
Like, they match up nicely. So the idea that, all right, not only does this team have to fix something that for some reason they have not been able to fix in the previous 9 weeks, they've got to do it in the harshest situations. I'm willing to give a little bit of grace on if it, you know, if this does not go the way that you would hope, you know, without, you know, completely damning what's happening and calling it like a tipping point towards the negative. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say we kind of all drunk a little too much Kool-Aid, man. I think the offseason was amazing. I wouldn't take that back at all, but I just think we kind of drunk a little too much Kool-Aid.
Well, I don't, but I will end it on a high note here. Because foremost, they told us that they felt they were a contender with their actions. We are not the only ones. Like, experts around the league.
I feel like everybody drunk the Kool-Aid a little bit. Experts.
But was it Kool-Aid when they're going to get upper-tier players to be an upper-tier team is my point. You know, Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon in particular, much less
D'Amico
Al-Shaair,
and all those other guys.
I think they did what they supposed to do. Like, I don't fault them for that, but I still think it's an attitude in that locker room. You know, maybe they felt like they couldn't be beaten. And now I think reality
is
setting in.
That's a whole different topic right there.
Yeah, I think reality is setting in. I don't know if they ate the rat poison or the cheese and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think everybody ate something.
Well, and this is where I want to kind of end it with the possibility of this being a really good weekend. If they do take a major step, if they do win, if they do get an offensive line performance that is really just the mean, you know, average of offensive line performances, then they're in a place where, hey, we just beat the Lions. We're 7-3. We've got a cupcake, you know, portion of the schedule coming up before the end of the year against the Chiefs and the Ravens. Then all of a sudden, maybe that momentum starts to shift. But that's why, that's to me, is the definition of tipping point. Like, if they look ugly and look ugly, let's be honest here, man. We thought this was going to be a Super Bowl type preview game. It's not. It's not anywhere close.
Sure.
So if they look ugly, it's going to veer off wide, you know, crazily to one direction. But if they don't, if they get just good performances and CJ works his magic and Joe Mixon runs for more than 100 yards and you win on national TV on Sunday Night Football, no less, then we're going to be rubbing our hands together saying, all right, maybe they've turned a corner. It's a tipping point game to me.
The reason why I'm not willing to go that far is that you're right on the offense, on the positive side, rather. If they are able to put these things together and find the details and, you know, become detail oriented in the ways that they simply have not been to this point, yeah, we're going to start talking about them different. 100%. Like, I'm not even going to lie about that. I can't. I just, I'm not in the place where, how does it get more negative than the way that we've already discussed it? Like, I don't think it veers off into a crazy place if you do, if you aren't able to best a Detroit Lions team. Or if you look, like, if you look as disjointed on the offensive line as you have looked all season long, really, right? Like, I don't know, understand where are you going that place
because
where
it there's tips no to fall the guy. There's no Kenyon Green. That's how.
Okay.
You know, I mean, to me, that's how. Because it'll be more about the whole offensive line. And Bobby Slowe. You don't think Bobby Slowe's going to be catching some heat if they look so bad? He's already catching some heat.
Right. So, look, with tipping point or not, like, this is going to be quite a big game, regardless of whether or not D'Amico Ryans wants to call it that specifically, right? All games are big games or what have you. This is a big game, if for no other reason than it's prime time. Sunday night. At NRG, you have the Detroit Lions coming in, and when it comes to primetime games, where I will say is it might be a tipping point from a national perspective because people parachute in on these national games, and they become big in dictating how people view the way that you are as a team. We remember, like, as we were watching from this closer perspective that we have, seeing the team not quite getting it right, especially offensively, we were like, okay. You got to win, however there's stuff to clean up. And the national perspective had not really shifted.
No.
And then you get on national TV on Thursday night and lose to the Jets and everybody goes, whoa, right? That can continue to push in that way if you lose on Sunday night in a national way. But I think we've been close enough that we've been able to see all these things.
Yeah.
I don't think that we'll be surprised if there's some issues there because there have been issues there, right? Like, that's the path. That seems like it's the one of least resistance so that they don't necessarily fix everything and they continue having those same struggles.
On YouTube, Toby says, we are, in fact, a Tier 2 team. Another listener, Frank, says, the team is Tier 1. The offensive line is Tier 3. And that's why I feel like, you know, the upper tier is where this game should be played. This game was put on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Before we got a glimpse of these teams. Because they were supposed to be Tier 1 teams. And I keep saying that because, you know, we know the Tier 1 teams in the NFL now. You know, the template is being established. The pattern is established. You know, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, NFC Commanders, and obviously the Lions. Are the Texans on that tier? No.
Not as of right now, but the problem is the possibility, the potential is still there.
Yeah.
Right? It's not even that it was there. It's still there.
It's still there. Sounds like you're saying that this is a tipping point game.
All right. 832 agrees with you. They say it's still believe it's a tipping point. They don't have to win, but it depends on how you look.
That too.
If you lose. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on this Thursday. Later on in the program, about 11:20, we'll get to talk to our guy, ND Kalu. But before we get there, it's Chris Sims, who's, you know, obviously works for NBC, does some quarterback analysis and such on the NFL. Is he right about this issue with CJ Stroud and the offense? I'll tell you what that is next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday to everybody listening. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us and get involved with the program on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. In a second, I'll ask, we'll dive into, is Chris Sims right about the issue with C.J. Stroud and this offense, right? That is the perspective that he has. But on that 5-Hour Energy fan line, during the course of our conversation on whether or not this Lions game upcoming on Sunday night is a tipping point game, someone texted in from the 832, 20-year season ticket holder, when was the last time that this team looked worth a damn on a primetime game in the regular season? And the two primetime games that I'm thinking of that you've played this season, the Jets game, which, no.
That would be a no.
And then week two against the Bears, Sunday Night Football. And I don't know.
That would be a no.
You won? No? Okay, very good.
Yeah, that would be a no.
Last season, it was all noon games, was it not?
Except for the very last one that was flexed to Saturday night. So that would be it, right, Figgy?
Yeah, I would say that was probably the last time. And honestly, I mean, they look good because, you know, it was a rookie quarterback and all that stuff, and this team came out of nowhere. But if that running back for the Colts didn't drop that pass, they might have lost that game.
But overall, they look good. Thrilled.
Yeah. Especially with that Nico, that 75-yard pass.
Yeah, just early on. They just immediately were like, this is what time
first
we are on.
First play of the game.
Yeah. That is what we, this is what time we are on.
And the only other one was 5 years ago. The only other one that they looked good in
2019?
2019, when they beat the Patriots here. They took down Goliath, right, Figgy?
Yeah. Shout out to Martin Vandermeer.
Yeah.
So
they take down Goliath.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting parts of having this three primetime games and three straight games, right? And you did not take advantage of the first opportunity Thursday night in New York. This is another opportunity Sunday night at home. And then I think the real situation where you absolutely need to show up, maybe the real tipping point in my perspective, tipping point game, Monday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys, the woeful and sad Dallas Cowboys. But regardless, we'll talk more about that as we go. That is next week. This week, however, you're dealing with the Lions and you're trying to get quite a few things together. And, you know, offense is clearly one of those. Offensive line comes up a good amount. But C.J. Stroud has started coming under fire for some things. And I don't know if this is him coming under fire or, you know, Bobby Slowick coming under fire. But Chris Sims, this is Chris Sims, works for NBC and does a lot of quarterback evaluation, those types of things. This is him on what he believes to be the issue with this offense of C.J.
Bobby Slowick is not doing enough to help C.J. Stroud right now. C.J. Stroud right now is being misused, and it's a shame. When C.J. Stroud goes 10 for 30, there's an issue. It's the most accurate quarterback in football. I said on Sunday night, this is institutional. This is a problem with their offense overall.
You just saw those last three games for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Those are basically two of his worst three games. What was working last year?
Yeah.
Is it just that other defenses have figured it out?
I think so. I think there's a little bit of that. Here's my biggest problem. They're not teaching C.J. Stroud anything about pass protection or where he's got to go with the football. That shows up because when they get tricked with certain blitzes, you could tell C.J. Stroud is like, they said they were going to handle all these things. Where's my hot route? I didn't even know who we were supposed to blitz or not. They blitzed five. We had five offensive linemen. I thought we'd be okay. That's kind of what they told me all week in meetings. They're doing a disservice to him. Nobody's really taught him about what's going on here and what happens if that guy doesn't come and this guy doesn't blitz and do all that. He's back there just, wait, hey, anybody open? Oh, wait, I think I'm protected. Let me look around. Anybody open? Yeah, I think life is hard on him right now.
I like the way he did that.
Yeah, though. I do appreciate that.
Little acting skills.
He committed to the bit, right? He was like, I will fully attempt to embody this version of C.J. Stroud that I'm trying to show.
But look around.
Yeah. Lopez, do you agree with that assessment that Bobby Slowick has not properly equipped C.J. Stroud to deal with the pressure and, you know, the changing defenses that they're seeing this year?
Look, first of all, that's not a criticism of C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
At all. Like because I think that's a you know, very much a criticism of Bobby Slowick, and whether it's the offensive line or giving C.J. Stroud, which I would be leaning this way, giving C.J. Stroud the ability to make the calls at the line. They're putting most of them on Juice Scruggs.
Yeah, right. Juice is as a center, and usually when it comes to like setting protection, it's one of two players. It's either the quarterback or the center, and usually that also is somewhat dictated by experience, right? If you have an experienced quarterback, maybe they'll do that, or if you have a more experienced center and the offensive line and a really smart one at that, not to saying that like there's dumb linemen there. Yeah. I feel like in order to play line at any level, or especially at these high levels, you got to be some level of smart at what you're doing. You put it at the foot of the center. But yeah, it seems like Juice Scruggs, and that's one of the odd things about this team, is you have a couple of young guys in both of those important positions,
right?
But Juice handles a lot of those. And according to DJ Bieniemy, like everybody on the line and, you know, people that you would ask around that says that Juice does a good job.
Yes. So then it's obviously recognition or coaching in terms of what to see, you know, to have in your recognition. So it's not C.J. Stroud. And, you know, DJ Bieniemy, as you just said, you know, saying that everybody around the team says Juice Scruggs is doing a good job. Well, that kind of narrows it down now, doesn't it? That kind of narrows it down in terms of the scheme, which Clint talks about a lot. And, you know, some of the little subtle elements of the scheme are recognizing or at least trying to predict where the protection is going to come from. If there's an extra guy, or if somebody needs help on the backside, or whatever it may be, that narrows it down to Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, and I feel like, and this comes in on the 5 Hour Energy fan line from the 713. Nah, this dude is presuming too much, and I do think that he extrapolated too far in some of this, talking about how like CJ is just looking around, like, oh, they told me that this would be handled. I don't think that that's where this is coming from, but I do think that there probably could be more that is given when it comes to like answers for some of the test questions of, we're going to heat you up, we're going to send simulated pressure, or we're going to send blitzes. And, you know, because we've seen smart people, both linemen, quarterbacks, all these things that are in this media space, look at and break down film and say, okay, this protection doesn't make sense for what you're seeing here. Mm-hmm. And it seems like there's lapses in some of those things sometimes. And so
that scheme,
their scheme. And then there's also, we've seen, and maybe this was more early on in the season, where it just feels like there aren't hots, right? There aren't hot routes or opportunities to get the ball out quickly when pressure is indeed coming, which is, again, another indication that maybe there aren't as many answers being given for CJ to where now he has to go and, you know, sit back here and hold the ball, and maybe not has to, but does then hold the ball, looking for somebody to be open down the field where he doesn't have have the time to do that with the pressure that's coming.
And so, you know, when you talk about, and I go back to this maybe too much, but I thought it was very telling. When you talk about everything on the table, was that on the table? Is it on the table? Is it something we're going to see this week?
What, CJ calling protections?
Where CJ says, look, he's the one pointing right here, right there, and right there, telling the guys who they got or what the breakdown would be. I don't know. We'll find out. But this is not, you know, you just heard Chris Sims talk about there. This is not CJ Stroud has all of a sudden lost accuracy. He's had bad games because he's been sort of rattled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's missed some players because he's been sort of rattled, but I don't think anybody thinks he's all of a sudden lost his accuracy.
Yeah, and I think I bring this back. In my mind, this feels inextricably tied to the piece in the Ringer that I was talking about. Was it earlier this week, last week, about, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the checkdowns? Like, I think that some of this is also facilitating more understanding that teams are making it hard for you to get downfield with some of the things that you're doing, and looking for some of the quicker developing routes that you can have as safety blankets to get the ball out and get the ball to people in space. And this is a very interesting matchup for that, because on the other side of the ball, that's what Jared Goff does fantastically. Just get the ball to your playmakers in space and allow them to do a lot of the work schematically, right? Like, this is going to be a very interesting juxtaposition this week with Bobby Slowick, who is, you know, billed as young genius, savant play caller, across from Ben Johnson, who is also young genius savant play caller, but actually getting it done at a higher level right now.
Yeah, and you know, sharing with you earlier, we don't have to play it or anything, but another, you know, pretty well respected former quarterback, Chase Daniel, said almost the exact same thing without the acting skills and without necessarily like.
And if you can't act, you're not getting played.
Yeah, if you can't act, you're not getting played. But he said that the Texans' problem right now, C.J. Stroud's problem right now, is protection.
Well, sure.
I mean, we knew that, but he's not just talking about offensive linemen breaking down either. He's talking about what we mentioned here, like how they're sort of attacking different protection issues.
Yeah, so game plan, you would hope to see get significantly better. I also really hope, in going back, we were talking about D'Amico Ryans on the Coach's Show mentioning that, you know, self-scout particularly gets big in these, you know, quarters of the season that you take an opportunity and really evaluate. And you just got past the halfway point. Hopefully, like, that self-scout and that evaluation helps the offense and the offensive decision makers, namely Bobby Slowick, to empower CJ with more of those, more of those answers, you know, and empower Juice to have more of the pass protections that will actually give them the opportunity to really attack things. And one of the things that we can all understand and agree, hopefully Nico Collins returns. Do we? Someone asked on the Twitch, do we know if Nico is coming back soon? He is eligible to be you know, return or designated for return from IR or dealing with that hamstring injury. However, he didn't practice yesterday, and we didn't get a lot of news on that to that end. DJ Bieniemy, again, coming back to the ESPN reporter that covers these Texans, he says, by the way, if the Texans don't announce that wide receiver Nico Collins has been designated for return before practice, then it's probably a key indicator that he won't practice.
It probably is.
So we will be watching that space to see if maybe we can get some insight on whether your number one wide receiver will be available to help CJ in those ways. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. It's about time for our question of the day. And I know that D'Amico Ryans lets us know that you can't do this. This is not how it works. However, if you could, just lift a player from another team and plop them on this Texas team, what player would you pick? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It's time for the question of the day. Get involved on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. I take you to D'Amico Ryans yesterday in his availability, which, by the way, if we were going to go earlier in the week and say, ooh, I don't know if that was a good availability for him. This one, I thought it was a good availability for him.
It was something.
He gave us a little more insight. I think for me personally, I felt I felt like I got something out of it. Now he could still be a little ornery in his particular way.
But that's getting something out of it.
I thought it was too. And so I found this one to be interesting, and this inspires our question of the day. He was asked if he re-emphasized his confidence with his Texans team, especially the O-line, after the trade deadline passed.
I didn't emphasize anything to our team. Like, we have the guys we have. I mean, everybody thinks the trade deadline comes and you're going to, you know, find this guy who's going to save your team. I don't see it that way, right? Transactions were made across the league, and there has to be two parties available to do a trade. Everybody's antsy about trades. It's not just us going and taking somebody from another team. People have to be available, and the trade has to be on good terms for everyone. So I know everybody's in an uproar about us trading at the deadline. It's like, it's not from a lack of us working to get our team better and improve our team, but there's no savior coming to save our team, and there has to be two parties involved in trading.
I felt like that was he really wanted to make it clear that, hey, it wasn't that we didn't try. There was, but you got to have two to tango. And he threw out the line. It's not like you're just going to go and pull somebody from, or not exactly the line, but in theory, like, you're not just going to go pull somebody from another roster. But what if you could? What if you could just pull somebody from somebody else, from another roster, and plop them on this Texans team? Which one or what player would you drop onto this team, Lopez?
All right, so I have two, maybe three, but I can't come up with a name. I'm gonna land on one.
Okay,
I'm gonna land on one. But let's talk through it. Two came to mind. The second one was we're gonna see on Sunday night. Lions tight end Sam Laporta.
Sam Laporta's a fun one.
That dude is a badass.
Not only is he a badass, Sam, he could do a little blocking too.
That's why. No offense, but I still think, okay.
No offense to who? No offense to who?
To Dalton.
Okay.
Yeah. But here's
my man just said no offense, like, it moved on. Like, all right, we end, and that's it.
You know, that guy. I want a badass guard. You know, we're sitting here saying, okay, well, maybe Patterson, you know, maybe we'll figure it out. Maybe it's the scheme. I want a badass at left guard.
That was the thing, is I knew, like, that feels like the most evident single position that people would come up with. But I was like,
Oh, we're going to see him next week.
Is that the line, or is that the place that you go, this is the most bang for my buck? And I was wondering how many people would go to give me a guard as opposed to give me a high level wide receiver. Hey, give me some, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was wondering how many people would go to different places here.
This people right here, the one with two thumbs pointing at myself.
Okay, very good.
Because just imagine, like if you had Tyler Smith.
Yeah.
Like, Tyler Smith is a monster.
Big, strong, physical dude. Yeah.
Cowboys left guard, too,
he
right?
He plays left guard, yeah, so left you wouldn't even too. Have to move him.
Wouldn't even have to move him. You just plopped him in there, all of a sudden, how good does Juice Scruggs get? Of course, we know, you know, Laremy Tunsil.
That could be huge on Juice Scruggs, because, like, again, Juice Scruggs as a center, like, you depend a lot on those guys next to you, and I do wonder how many of his struggles have been, in some ways, playing next to Kenyon, who has been, you know.
And we pointed him out some.
Yeah, yeah.
But that guy's really, really good. All pro already, right?
I believe so. I'll double check on that. But yeah, Tyler has been a very good guard early.
But he's really, really good.
And he's young as well. Yeah. Where, like, you'd be able to get that. I don't know. I really was considering the amount of time that you would get an opportunity with him.
Yeah.
But that would be an interesting one. Mm-hmm. I was thinking in a similar place when it came to guard, of one of the ones that came to mind. But I keep forgetting which side he plays, and I really should remember. But Joe Thuney.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Thuney.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what side he plays.
I think he might play right guard, mm-hmm. but he is indeed a guard on the Kansas City Chiefs, 31 mm-hmm. years of age. But that's part of the appeal for me.
Yeah.
He's a veteran.
Yeah.
And not like he is a grizzled vet. He is one who has done this at a high level. He is highly respected. And he can run great. Like, he can get up. He can run block well. He can pass block well. Like, he is one of those guys that the Kansas City Chiefs went and got after that Super Bowl where they had Patrick Mahomes out here looking crazy, throwing passes horizontal to the field just because he was just trying to fight. They were like, oh, that can't happen ever again. Let's go get Joe Thuney. And if you are looking at a quarterback and going, that can't happen again, mm-hmm. that sounds a lot like what I'm feeling with C.J. Stroud. Give me a Joe Thuney who can get in that guard position and really, you know, help as a veteran leader guy in addition to being a dude who does this really well.
Yeah, so I got like three of them, man.
Yeah, we're going to bounce around on them.
Yeah, so the first one I thought about was George Kittle. Just give me George Kittle, mm-hmm. man. Somebody that could just throw the ball to, or he can
kinda
make
like
it
me
happen.
With LaPorta.
Yeah, he could just drag you to the end zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 281 is there with you as well.
Yeah,
they said they think adding him elevates all aspects of the offense, allows the run game to be more effective with his blocking, downfield threat, effective as a dual threat. And I think also, like, hey, man, that's a dude that creates real mismatches. Like, teams have to really consider what they're doing when he's playing. I think that's an interesting name to throw up there for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Another one, I'm with y'all with the guards. Give me Joe Bitonio, man. Give me Joe Bitonio. He's been one of the best guards in the league for a little bit. Reliable. Give me somebody like that. And the last one, I don't think we necessarily need a tackle, but give me Trent Williams, man. Just a badass, man.
That's right.
Laremy, sit on the side for a little bit.
Everybody wants him.
Watch how it's really done.
Yeah. Man, there's a lot of people that have gone offensive line, right? 832 also with you there on Trent Williams. 631, Tristan Wirfs from Tampa. Absolutely. Very good offensive lineman. So many offensive linemen came in. 281, Quentin Nelson. Or they had Chris Jones. And that's the first defensive player I've seen come in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Were there any defensive players that came up for you that you were
that's
like,
that's
yeah.
my third one.
Okay.
And this is the one I need your help on. Because I'm trying to think of the best nickel slot defender. Because that changes everything, too. If you can just plug someone in there, you know, someone that playing at a very high level can cover the slot.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to come up with a name.
This is somebody we could have had. But Kyle Hamilton,
I'm
man.
Looking at him right now.
Kyle Hamilton would be huge.
Oh, man.
He is truly a safety, but he's a safety that does it all.
Yeah.
With physicality and an ability to cover and rangy.
And you could have got him, man, but you traded back and got Kenyon Green.
Yep. Yeah. Taking one pick before Kenyon Green.
Mm. Like, that's just, Kenyon Green's always going to have that around his neck.
Yeah.
That one's just going to hang.
That's unfortunate, too, man.
One of the ones that came up for me is perpetual fan favorite, Cooper DeJean. For the Eagles.
Why is that, by the way?
He's a white corner.
Yeah, he's a white cornerback, man. Like, that's, I love the idea. I feel like this is where racism has indeed affected the white man. And I feel like, as somebody who detests racism in all forms of facets, that this needs to stop, man. People keep acting like these white dudes can't play cornerback. I'm like, if a white dude can play slot corner, he can play cornerback.
Jason Jason Sehore ain't the only one that can play.
Yeah.
And every time these dudes come in as a cornerback from the college, people try and move them to safety immediately.
Oh, he's not a corner.
Let him play corner. He can play. And Cooper DeJean has absolutely been able to do that. Yeah. Of course, the natural caveat that always comes up with Pro Football Focus, right? It's not the end all be all. It's inexact science. However, when it comes to coverage grades for all cornerbacks, Cooper DeJean, fourth best while doing a lot of these good things in coverage in the slot. I think that would be an interesting add, especially to help with Jalen Petrie when you get in those man-type situations, those clear and obvious passing situations.
I'm starting to, like, as we're talking this through, I'm starting to think that a badass slot corner might have a bigger impact on the team overall than even a badass left guard.
Or maybe
strength is defense.
Another badass corner, outside corner, and then Kamari can move inside as well. That's also because that was where you had originally thought that he would be playing regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one from the 3-4-6. You will see him across the field from your Texans on Sunday. Brian Branch. As a safety from
Lions. Sure, mentioning a lot of Lions.
That's a really well-built team. And they did it over like three seasons thereabouts, right? Yeah. Like, they just kind of continued to accumulate talent that plays the right way and that fits in the scheme. Brian Branch, he be ranging, man. Yeah. It feels like there's been multiple plays that immediately come to mind where it's just like, that dude, the ball goes up and he finds the football.
Yeah.
That's going to be something to really concern yourself with this week on Sunday.
Can we plot coordinators?
Oh, wow.
I had not considered that.
Wouldn't mind taking Ben Johnson. Give me Ben Johnson over here, man.
Oh, yeah, that guy's going to be. You're only going to have him for a couple of months.
Hey, you know? That's all we need.
Yeah. That would be a really fun experiment to see how much of this is the offensive line and how much of this is, Ben Johnson's personal prowess as well. Because can you do it with the offensive line, or at least the offensive line play that you've gotten out of these Texans to this point? Some other ones that come up, 832 says, give me Dexter Lawrence, another defensive tackle there. 832, A.J. Boye, another cornerback coverage guy. Vita Vea, Marshawn Lattimore, who just got moved from the Saints. Where'd he end up again? I'll have to
Commanders.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He went to the Commandos, yes.
Yeah.
So that one there. Kyle Hamilton comes in a few times. Kittle, Thuney. But it seems like a lot of people are in the same place. Offensive lineman, clearly that guard spot. Some cornerback situations, maybe safeties. And then some people are just like, make the defensive line even better.
But that's my argument. Like, if you're clearly a defensive, defense first team,
right,
even though we thought it would be the other way around. Hell, give me a nickel corner. Give me that defensive tackle.
I'm surprised no one went with like a linebacker, someone like Fred Warner. He's in the system.
Yeah.
And can you imagine Fred Warner next to Azeez Alshire?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right, Duke could cover as well.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, can we just have the Lions' whole roster? They can keep Goff.
I thought about that, man. would you swap the whole roster for roster?
Quarterback is key.
Well, yeah, the quarterback ends up being an interesting space. Probably. Like that is a testament to what their team has done. I forgot their
job. Well, what an interesting question,
though. Yeah.
Because I think the answer for me is probably two. And you got some studs
here. They got a lot of pieces, man.
Yeah.
From running back to receiver. Mm-hmm. Man, they got a lot of pieces, man.
I hadn't even gone to this place. Somebody said, well, J.J. Water for O-line, of course. 832. I love CJ, but why wouldn't you take Mahomes? That's an interesting thing that you could probably discuss. The idea of just if you could, just grab someone from another roster and plop them in, why would you not take the dude who is widely considered to be the best guy in the league, at least when it comes to playing quarterback, at Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, you're not talking about 10 years. You're talking about, like, just take him.
Yeah.
Would you take Lamar Jackson over CJ?
I don't think
now
so.
Now we're getting a little hacky now.
Yeah,
I feel like you would need a very particular style of team to really benefit or use the benefits.
That's a two-time MVP, man.
He absolutely is.
Maybe three-time.
He absolutely is. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That was our question of the day. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including, could this man in division miss a game this week? We'll talk about that more next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.